Welcome to The Detail. I am your host, Kathy Antunes, and I'm in the studio today with Frank Castle. Frank has written a book, or is in the process of writing a book, about the founding of Sarasota. And first, actually, you all are listening to The Detail on WSLR LP FM in Sarasota. So, Sarasota is going to be 100 years old in the year 2021. So our founding was in 1921, but there really isn't a lot out there in terms of our history. And Frank, you have been involved in academia and history for a long time. Why don't you tell our audience about your background?
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me
Absolutely.
Here this morning. Well, I am. I'm an old academic.
Okay.
I'm retired now, living in Sarasota. I have a PhD in history, taught for many years at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Ended my career as the president of the University of Pittsburgh at Greensburg. And then we came down here.
How long have you been down here?
Well, we came down in 2007.
Okay.
And a few years later, I joined the, or was appointed to, the Sarasota County Historical Commission.
That's a good fit.
Which gave me a quick introduction to Sarasota history.
Yes, yeah. So you're from the Midwest. You've spent, you know, as we were talking about your career, you've spent time at teaching and at many academic institutions. So you came down here, and what led you to become interested in writing about Sarasota?
A complicated story, but
we've got time.
I was on the Historical Commission, and that gave me an opportunity to rummage through the holdings of historical resources, which is the county agency which preserves artifacts and papers associated with the county's past. I was particularly interested in Bertha Honore Palmer, who I had first been introduced to a few decades earlier when I was writing history of the Chicago World's Fair of 1893. And Bertha Palmer was the woman that headed the women's division of the World's Fair. And in doing so, everything she did was a breakthrough for women in that period of time.
Yeah.
And the women achieved a great deal of recognition because of her work. At the same time, she made a national reputation for herself. She was from Chicago, and then went on to become an international figure as she went around Europe, particularly inspiring women to send exhibits to be shown at the World's Fair. So I had gotten to know her, written about her then, and coming down here, I was introduced to the last phase of her life. She came down here to spend part of every year starting in 1910.
She was like an original snowbird.
That's right.
Yeah.
But she quickly decided to go into business down here.
Okay.
And bought 140,000 acres of land here. Owned a third or better of what we think of as Sarasota County today. And in the few years that she was here, she really transformed everything. And so I wrote this book on called Suncoast Empire, Bertha Honore Palmer, Her Family, and the Rise of Sarasota, which I thought was an appropriate description of the importance that she had.
You know, it's interesting you say that she transformed everything. I had been reading a book about San Francisco and what it was like during the Gold Rush. Of course, that's when it was founded. And it was really a horrible place to live. It was filthy. There just wasn't a lot of organization, and they brought women in, you know, and that the women are usually the ones who are, you know, laying down the gauntlet for sanitation and things like that. So when you say she transformed Sarasota, I'm curious, what exactly was that transformation?
Well, the first thing she had to do if she was going to make any money from the land she'd bought was to remake the land.
Okay.
In that period of time, 70% of what we think of as Sarasota County was underwater all or part of the year. And much of her land, at least that wasn't along the coastline or on one of the ridges in the area, was useless for agriculture. The only way to make it saleable was essentially to drain it.
Okay.
And then to sink wells that would bring water in the dry season.
Mm-hmm.
And in that way, you'd have the right amount, if you did it right, you'd have the appropriate amount of water both in the dry season and the wet season. She does this for an area as almost twice as big as Manhattan Island.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, there was almost nobody living here when she first starts out.
Okay.
But thanks to her, thousands of people move in and give a tremendous boost to Sarasota's development.
Hmm.
But she was also a rich lady with all kinds of political and social connections.
Mm-hmm.
And she drew to Sarasota other rich people.
Mm-hmm.
Who wanted to bask in her company and her reputation. And as a result, from a very early period, Sarasota became a haunt for the rich.
Mm-hmm.
And the rich, of course, are notorious for their support of culture.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things we all appreciate about Sarasota is that for such a small place, it has an extraordinary range of cultural assets.
It does.
It begins with Bertha Palmer.
That's fantastic. So when it comes to the culture, and I had, before the show, I had shared with you, I was at the Art Institute of Chicago, and I lived in Palma Ranch when I first came here, lived there for 4 years in Turtle Rock before I moved into the city. But you know, I was at the Art Institute of Chicago with my husband. I love Impressionist art, which is that period of time when she was visiting, and there were so many paintings on the walls that were donated by Bertha Palmer. And I thought, is this the same? It's got to be. How many people are named Bertha Palmer? I was a newbie and I didn't know the connection. So can you expound a bit on her love of the arts and what she did?
Well, she married Potter Palmer, who was originally an innovative owner of a department store in Chicago, who later went into real estate development. And he's the guy that developed State Street as the main business area of Chicago.
Okay.
And he's the guy that built his own million-dollar mansion at the north end of the Loop. And because he'd bought a bunch of land, and he was creating what today Chicagoans refer to as the Gold Coast.
Okay.
So he had an enormous impact. And he was very rich.
Mm-hmm.
And he was pretty old when he married Bertha, by the way.
You know, Did she? How many years difference
there.
And okay.
He died in 1901, I think it was. So she inherited, I think it was $6 million, which was
a lot of money.
A tidy sum.
I mean, it's still a lot of money, but that it was way more in 1901. So when she came down here, she had to redevelop, or how would you put it, kind of change the nature of the land so that she could actually farm it? Was she farming it? I know she was ranching.
Well, the object in her mind, learning, she had learned from her husband,
mm-hmm.
that you bought land, you improved it, and I guess we today would say you flipped it.
Yeah, so she was a flipper?
And made a profit out of it.
Okay.
She didn't see agriculture as the end product. She merely saw improving the land for agricultural purposes
mm-hmm.
to be a way to make the land saleable.
I see.
But in doing that, She created modern agriculture in this part of Florida.
Really? So she?
Oh, yes, she did.
Wow.
I mean, well, you have to stop and think about the irony of the fact that here was this woman who was the head of Chicago society, mm-hmm. Who lived in a million-dollar mansion, mm-hmm. Who is suddenly raising hogs and cows and is somehow involved in cutting down all of this jungle, this Florida jungle, mm-hmm. of cutting ditches and so on and so forth. What did a woman like that know about that?
Well, did she have any background in agriculture,
no,
farming?
No, none whatsoever.
She just
what
jumped in.
What she did
in.
Have a background in, though, was a strong belief in technology and science and expertise.
Okay.
So she learned, and she did it using two government agencies. One was the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Okay.
The other was the relatively new evolution of state agricultural extensions. And every state, based on the land-grant universities, and that included Florida, mm-hmm. These new outreach operations were coming in, and they produced a lot of material. And if you go to historical resources today and you look at the Bertha Palmer papers, there's a ton of these agricultural manuals that she got from the United States Department of Agriculture, but also from the Florida Extension people and Extension services all across the United States. She taught herself how to do this, and then she implemented the most up-to-date methods on the property that she'd bought.
That's fantastic.
All to make it more valuable for sale.
And so then she would, well, she kept some of it for her own ranch, right?
She had, she came down here originally for a winter home.
Okay.
So she bought 350 acres in Osprey.
Spanish Point.
Which is today called, well, Spanish Point today is 30 acres, and it contains some of the gardens that were quite famous at the time that Mrs. Palmer installed.
Okay.
But that's about all of Mrs. Palmer that is still there. I mean, at its height, her estate, which was called Osprey Point, had 350 acres. It was a whole village. I mean, there were many, many people working there. She built barracks for them to live in. Mm. They had to be fed. There were questions of all the utilities you would need to service such a large population. All of that is gone today, including probably the most important thing, which was her great house, which was called the Oaks. Now, today, if you drive down the Tamiami Trail, just before you get to Spanish Point, you pass by a housing area called the Oaks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And indeed, that was the place where that house...
That's where it was.
...was originally located.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Hmm. So there is some history involved in that name. I didn't know that. So she had a cattle ranch, right?
Yeah, it was at Myakka. Yeah, she what is today the Myakka State Park.
Okay.
Began with 15,000 acres of Bertha's Meadow Sweet Pastures Ranch.
I see. So she didn't farm, but then as she sold this land, who was coming in, and how did she choose to sell it? Did she have it? No, this has to be a farm. Was some of it set aside for residential? How did she organize her?
Well, she, she was well versed in modern marketing and mm-hmm. public relations.
Mm-hmm.
And what she didn't know, she could hire experts to help her. So that when the Palmers sold land, they were selling it nationwide. They, They put it in. They were proud of the fact that all of their great agricultural developments were so well advertised that ads reached every home in America.
Really?
And for their largest and most important agricultural development in the 1920s, which was Palmer Farms, they actually developed a movie, which was shown in movie houses across the United States.
That's a great way
to advertise it. Then they offered people discount train tickets to come look at the land. They offered easy terms to buy the land. They were very smart in what they in what they did, and the result was that they did sell this stuff, and that was, as they saw it, was the end product.
Mm-hmm.
But in fact, they were building a whole community.
Yeah, they were. So she came down. Refresh my memory. She came down, and when did she start coming to Sarasota?
Well, she came down. She first showed up here in 1910.
Okay.
February of 1910. And she comes down originally for a few months a year. By the end, she was spending most of the year down here managing her many enterprises. In 1918, though, she had been suffering from breast cancer for some time, and it finally got her. She died in 1918. She died here. She died in the Oaks. She was taken by Pullman car back to Chicago, where she lay in state at her million-dollar home in Chicago, and then was buried in great pomp.
Okay. And then it was a year later, because the whole impetus for your book, and Sarasota is going to be 100 years old, the county. the county will be 100 years old in the year 2021. So she had done all of this work. You know, she had laid the foundation. She had developed the land. She brought all kinds of investors in, and she really put Sarasota on the map. And she passed away, and then it became a county in 1921. So, at that time, what was the state of Florida like? Do you know? I mean, in terms of how many counties there are, and how did you get to become a county? Was it already Manatee, and then it became Sarasota? I'm just curious
there are 67 counties in Florida, and many of them were created in this period because of population growth. But let me say that the connection of Mrs. Palmer to all of this is that while she was still alive, she was fighting for better roads.
Okay.
Around her property, and indeed throughout what was known as the Sarasota District, which was the lower third of Manatee County.
Okay.
Roads. After, you know, with the development of automobiles, roads became the new measure of prosperity. And any community that was not connected to the major developing road systems of the time was likely doomed for obscurity. She fought hard for things like the Tamiami Trail and other roads here. And she was the first to fully realize the hostility of the Manatee government towards the people of Sarasota.
That's interesting. Why were they hostile?
Well, the hostility, it was not entirely uncommon among within counties or between counties. It had to do with the fact that counties... Roads outside of cities were built by the county. And the county decided where they would be built, and whoever controlled county government made that decision.
This sounds familiar.
And
they conferred value on the land.
It did.
If there was a road
nearby.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, roads bring tourists and
customers.
Investors mm-hmm. and manufactured goods, and they take out citrus vegetables and other crops which are sold in the north, which was where was how these communities were developing.
Yeah.
If you don't have the roads, you're not going to develop.
Right.
And what you had going on here was a competition between two business groups, one in what was then called Bradentown, and
okay.
the other in what had now become the city of Sarasota. And the Bradentown people wanted all those roads to go through
their place,
Bradentown.
Yeah.
But they sure as hell didn't want them to go through Sarasota, Fort Myers, and Point South.
So basically, I'm guessing. So you have a certain amount of, you've got a certain pot of money, and this is, so am I correct that, you know, Sarasota area, they were sharing their tax revenue with Bradenton at that point, and these guys wanted the benefits of the roads in their neck of the woods. They didn't really want to see the same kind of, they saw it as competition, and they wanted to capture the tax revenue for the development of their area.
Well, it's tax revenue. It's also borrowing power.
Okay.
Counties under the Florida Constitution could borrow money. But again, it was the county board that decided about the borrowing and the projects.
Yeah, the ability to bond.
And, you know, there was some public involvement, but Sarasota was only a third the size, a third of Manatee County.
Mm-hmm.
And in this earlier period, it was a fairly lightly settled area.
Okay.
So when Mrs. Palmer comes in and rapidly develops things, and suddenly you've got lots of people, lots of businessmen, lots of new development of citrus growing and vegetable growing, suddenly there was this growing demand for decent roads. Now, at the same time, the state government in Florida creates the Florida Road Commission. And the federal government in 1915 for the first time begins allocating money for road building. That's all good, except for the fact that the federal government relies on the state road commissions for recommendations, and the state road commissions rely on the county governments for recommendations. So if you're not a county, you're not really represented. That's in a much oversimplified form is what had happened to the Sarasota people. And Mrs. Palmer, before she died, was the first one to understand that there needed to be a separate county.
Mm-hmm.
And she actually asks her attorney in Tampa at one point to look into how do you break us off into our own county. Now, she dies before anything happens.
But it was her brainchild.
Well,
basically,
she was the first to really understand the situation and to propose a solution. Her sons, though, who take over the Palmer Empire after she dies, press on with it.
Okay.
Both in terms of the kinds of investments that they make and in terms of their drive to link Sarasota to modern road systems. And after World War One, there's another factor that comes in.
What's that?
Which is that after World War One, there was an enormous surplus of big trucks that had been built for the army for the war in Europe. But the war ended, and all these trucks were sitting around, which were then sold off to civilians and became the basis of kind of the modern trucking industry. But trucks, particularly trucks that didn't have had hard rubber tires, did enormous damage to roads.
Oh yeah, they're hard on roads.
They tore them up, which added a new level of complexity. Okay. But the point was, it wasn't just railroads that carried crops back
north. That's the shift that was happening.
Yeah. It's the trucks
shifting
that come in. And if you aren't on the road system and the roads don't have the right topping.
Yeah. Then, so this whole the modern transportation was changing, and Bertha Palmer was at the forefront of putting Sarasota on the map. So you're listening to The Detail. I'm here with Frank Castle, who is the chair. You're the chair of this Centennial Committee with the Historical Society. Is that right?
I'm the chair of the steering committee, yes.
Okay. Yeah. And we're going to be 100 years old in a few years. So Frank and I are discussing stories from his upcoming book on Bertha Palmer and the founding of Sarasota. You are listening to The Detail. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Detail. I'm your host, Kathy Antunes, and I'm here with Frank Castle, who is the author of an upcoming book called Creating Sarasota. So, and before we get back to Frank, I just want to share you're listening to WSLR on 96.5 LPFM in Sarasota. And for those who live, work, or play in the Sarasota city limits, residents and visitors, there's a 2019 community survey. It's now available at sarasotafl.gov/survey2019. So I'll say that again, sarasotafl.gov/survey2019. And the survey is available in Spanish and English. It has 24 questions and takes less than 15 minutes to complete. For more information, you can contact Laura Wittenbauer at 941-926-6423, extension 6423. Okay. So Frank, you've got a book coming out, Creating Sarasota. Tell us about it. What's in your book?
Well, its actual title is Creating Sarasota County.
Oh, okay.
So we don't confuse it with
the city.
The history of the city, although
yes,
something of this said of the history of the city as well. But the purpose was to uncover the actual history of how we became a county. My reasoning was, if we're going to celebrate it, we ought to understand what had happened.
Yes.
Now, I started on that about 2 years ago, and it is coming out April 1st. It will be published.
Oh, that's great.
And my hope is that it will be widely used throughout the county as part of the celebration. I think it can be the basis of some discussions. There are some interesting questions out there. I mean, and they may relate to problems we have today, such as what makes us a community? I think we often focus a lot on those things that divide us, the controversies. But what makes us a community? What made us a community in 1921? And I've heard people talk about this, and they comment on the fact, well, we're all, for the most part, outsiders. We come from other parts of the country, that we bring historical traditions from elsewhere, to which the answer is the people that founded Sarasota County were also outsiders.
Okay.
They, too, had come from other parts of the country.
Yeah.
And that they really didn't become a coherent civic community until they had to fight the fight over the roads and over separation from Manatee County. It was the very act of independence.
Okay.
And that created a not just the county, but the substructure of common assumptions,
common goals,
of seeing themselves as striving together for the same goals. There's also perhaps some, the role of development.
That we talk about a lot here.
Yeah, I know you do.
Yeah.
But, it was very different in 1921. In fact, in 1921, you were right at the cusp of the great Florida land boom, in which developers would run the state into the ground for all practical purposes. But developers also played a very constructive role.
Sure.
As well. And it's that dichotomy.
The balance, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Finding the balance.
Which, in a sense, has been a continuing theme of the county's history, and I suspect of all of Florida.
Yeah, with so much undeveloped land, relatively speaking, and coming of age during the time when the car, it's very different when you go to New England. They were well established well before the car, and so the scale of their development, it's focused on pedestrians, whereas in Florida, because we came of age during the car, auto-centric development has been an issue. And in the Sun Belt, that's true. So it really does have an impact on how we live and what kind of communities we create. But I'm curious, you had said, so Bertha Palmer was the trailblazer, a woman of vision, very wealthy woman, and her husband died. When did he die?
About 1901.
Oh, that's right. You had met. Okay, so she came on in and set the table for Sarasota to become a county. And then once it became a county, you were saying that a lot of the players in the development of the county were also women. Is that true?
Well, what I was saying to you is that it would be a mistake to see the creation of the county as being entirely the product of one or more rich people carrying it along. I mean, clearly that people of money and means and land and political influence were important then as they are now.
Sure, yeah.
But the in this book that's coming out, as distinct from the Suncoast Empire book on Mrs. Palmer, I really do introduce a new cast of characters, because the people that carry this, that figure it out, how to organize the Sarasota district to not only get its roads but to get its independence, involve people who were not necessarily rich or well known, and it certainly involved for the first time a lot of women, not just Mrs. Palmer, who was extraordinary. I mean, you could hardly see her as typical. But remember that the women get the vote in this period.
Yeah.
First presidential election is 1920 that they can vote. And here in 1921, at the very end of the process of becoming a county, it becomes there has to be a referendum held of all eligible people in the proposed Sarasota County, and they got to vote whether they agree with becoming a county or not.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly, women play a critical role in that whole thing. For the first time, one of the smart things that goes on here is that the males, the men mm-hmm. who are running the Chamber of Commerce or they're running the Sarasota City Government,
mm-hmm.
realize that they have to rally a majority from throughout the county.
Yeah.
And that women do constitute
a majority,
a significant body of, well, certainly they hoped of support, but mm-hmm. of course it could be the other way as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so they really joined forces with who I think is probably the heroine that comes out of this book is a woman named Rose Phillips Wilson. Rose Wilson was a Canadian, actually.
Okay.
But she was the editor and owner of the only newspaper in the county, or the proposed county, and that was the Sarasota Times. She had been a fanatic supporter of the on the roads issue and on the issue of separating Sarasota from Manatee County. But her major contribution may well have been her special attention in her newspaper that she gives
mm-hmm.
to persuading women to participate, to get out there and organize and to vote, that this is their issue. It's not just the men's issue. It's an issue for the women. And in this, she finds strong support from the Sarasota Women's Club,
okay,
which Bertha Palmer had a hand in supporting
mm-hmm.
and in purchasing their clubhouse, which still stands today. It's a theater today. There was a woman named Alice Morehouse Genther, who was the president of the Women's Club,
mm-hmm.
Who was very important in getting that group organized.
Yeah, I've never heard these names
before.
No,
there's no reason you should have. There, mm-hmm. Catherine McClellan you may have heard of.
Well, yeah, McClellan.
Because the McClellan sisters developed their neighborhood.
McClellan Park,
Catherine was head of the legislative committee of the Women's Club.
Okay.
And when the chief leaders of the county movement showed up, she was the one that introduced them, and they stood up and they told the women why it was important that it be a county.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the whole thing, I'm not sure exactly what people will make of this. At the end of the whole thing, the secretary of the independence movement stands up and says, "Oh, by the way, ladies, remember you have to pay poll taxes now that you can vote.
Uh-oh.
But don't worry about it. If you're willing to vote, we'll pay the poll taxes for you."
Wait a minute. Are they buying votes there?
Well,
are you saying if you're willing to vote
that may be your reading.
To be a county, then, so Sarasota, so there's a long history here of money and political influence. That
there are other things. Joe Halton is a guy that nobody knows or doesn't know much about him. Joseph Halton was a doctor. He and his brother were doctors
mm-hmm.
here in Sarasota. And Joseph Halton ran a hospital, but was tabbed by the movement to become a county. They asked him to give the keynote address in June of 1920 at a meeting held at the Palmer estate offices here in Sarasota.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe Halton's keynote address, which was published in the papers, is really interesting.
Is it?
Because there's a lot of Patrick Henry in.
Really? Give me liberty or give me death?
Well, he doesn't quite say that.
Okay.
But there is certainly a lot of talk about the injustice of the system of taxation without representation. And
okay.
And what makes this all very interesting is, of course, that Joseph Halton was from England.
Okay.
But he had imbibed.
He had bought into the American way.
He imbibed all of this after he came.
So are you saying that he was being tapped to be on the county commission? Is that?
No, he was just asked. This was the kickoff meeting in June of 1920. This was the first time that the issue surfaced publicly.
Becoming a county. That issue?
That's right. There had been a group working behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe Halton ended up being the front guy to come out and sort of lay out the case.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that we need to be a county?
Yeah.
And it's actually an interesting speech. It's an interesting meeting. I'm hoping sometime during this celebration we can recreate that event.
That would be fun. I would love to see that.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of things that we might do in terms of recreation, and including the laying of the cornerstone for the county building, which it was a grand ceremony.
You mean the county courthouse?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Oh, not the county. I don't mean the county building we see today, but the county courthouse.
Yeah, I mean,
which fortunately is still there.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's a fantastic building.
Yeah,
and we need to make good use of it in this celebratory year.
Yeah, and it's just gotten a restoration or a facelift. Mm. It's been painted, right? It looks beautiful.
It's been redone inside and out, if you walk through it, it is a testimony to 1920s excess.
Mm. Oh, is it? I don't know that I've walked through it.
But it is something to see. It's well worth seeing. And
are there tours of the county building?
I'm not sure that
that would be
there
a great
are,
thing to do.
But part of what we want to do is to open up Sarasota government in more ways than one. And certainly one way is to have the public tour some of these installations.
Because honestly, with the county buildings, I don't know why you would go upstairs and if you didn't work there. You know, most of the public access and interaction is happening at the ground floors, and there's not a whole lot. And I'm not talking about the terrace building. I'm just talking about that beautiful symbol of the county with the tower and, you know, that Spanish architecture. I wish the current county building were nicer. It's really somewhat, I don't know, generic. But it's great that we do have some beautiful architecture that we have saved in the county.
I think one of the points to be made here about this celebration is that Sarasota County government didn't create itself. It was created by people throughout this, what we now think of as the county, of a Peter Buchan and the south end of the county, people from Myakka, all over that were involved in this.
All the different neighborhoods
and
areas.
The people created it.
Of course.
They fought for it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering today how many people know very much about county government at all.
You know, Frank, you're singing my song, because when I give talks on local government and what's going on, I ask the audience, how many of you can name your five county commissioners? I might get one or two hands in a room of 100 people. And usually it's somebody I know. You know, I'm like, you don't count. I know you know the answer to this. Because when people go into the voting booth, they know what they're doing at the state level. They know what they're doing at a national level. They know the actual individual. But at a local level, and particularly the county level, because the city votes, a lot of people can tell you who the city commissioners are. But somehow the county's kind of like middle management. Nobody knows who they are. They're voting usually along party lines. I call it a bobblehead party vote, but they don't know who the actual person is. And these people play a huge role in how our community develops and grows, the services we get or don't get. It's a big thing.
If you're not living in the city of Sarasota.
Well, right. Then they're the only ones you got.
Well, I think that's part, you know, you fought to create this thing. You ought to get to know what it does.
Yeah.
I mean, how it's changed. And from the county's point of view, they ought to welcome the opportunity, really a learning moment here in 2021.
A big, yeah.
To find a population that at least for the moment may be well interested in finding out more about their government, what it does.
Yeah, it's a huge opportunity.
County government is enormous, and I think most people would be stunned if they really
sat down and
looked at the whole list of things, mm-hmm. of services and activities that go on in county government. I think it's important people know that. And
yeah.
We think that's one of the things that could come out of this. And it's certainly a time where county government can reach out to the people. To build bridges there.
Yeah.
Which could be very useful.
Yeah. So if people want to get involved, it's the Historical Society. You're on the steering committee for the centennial celebration, which I assume you're basically going to take that year and have different events and,
Yeah, let me try to be clear on all these historical titles. The group that I am chairing is the steering committee for the Sarasota County Centennial 2021.
Okay.
And by the way, we do have a website. If you look up Sarasota County Centennial 2021, you will find our site. Mm-hmm. Which is growing as we move along with our planning.
Actually says SarasotaCountyCentennial.com.
That's right.
I think that, okay.
That's right.
Okay.
And you will see in there, in that, when you get to that site, one of the things that's stressed is partnerships.
Mm.
The feeling of the steering committee is that... That's really should be the major theme of what's going on here is partnerships.
Mm.
And we think one way to do this is to create a partnership organization. Now, partners can be almost any group,
mm-hmm.
as long as they're not overtly political. But women's clubs, men's clubs,
mm-hmm.
businesses, all kinds of groups,
yes,
would be welcome to register as a partner for the centennial.
With the radio station?
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
In fact, I mean, the requirements are not onerous. You have to sort of say that you're interested in the centennial,
mm-hmm.
that you're going to try to do something to participate in the centennial. That you might think about organizing an event for the centennial.
Oh, great.
And we're going to have the official centennial calendar. So if you get to us, we'll put your event, unless it's something inappropriate,
okay.
we'll put your event
okay.
on the official calendar.
Yeah.
But when you get to that site, you'll see that there is you can very easily get into the section about how to be a partner.
Okay.
And it really requires only a kind of a brief filling out a brief form, which mostly allows us to know who to contact and who to talk to and who to send things to.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't started it yet, but there will be a newsletter.
Okay.
We have to find somebody to write it.
Ah.
But there will be a newsletter,
yes.
which will run between now and the end of 2021, talking about this. We are at the very beginning of this.
Yeah.
It's important that this kind of grow up from the bottom. More than be handed down from on top.
Yeah, you want community.
That's the philosophy.
Yeah.
As part of this new book, I studied all the past celebrations of countyhood.
Oh, okay.
And of which there aren't that many.
Mm.
The 50th anniversary in 1971 and the 75th in 96. were relatively good sized, but and did some interesting things.
Mm-hmm.
But they did not reach very far down.
Okay.
And they certainly didn't reach to all the corners of the county. It tended to be more city of Sarasota and not the rest of the county. That's a bad mistake.
Yeah.
And it misses really one of the chief lessons of the history of, mm-hmm. of how we became a county.
Yeah.
So that's what we're trying to do.
That's great.
We're trying to encourage people. Partners, we should be doing something every day. Some group should be doing something every day. We're going to have, we know we're going to put in lecture series. You talked about tours.
Mm-hmm.
The Historical Resources is going to put in a special group of historical markers. That's the group that puts up the historical markers you see all over the county.
Yeah.
There will be a special group of markers going out marking the key places where events involved in becoming a county happen.
Oh, that's terrific.
And that people can travel around and see.
Take a peek, yeah.
My great hope is for community history. We're not capturing much of our current history. We need communities to work on that.
Mm-hmm.
Every time we put up an historical marker in a community, I'm amazed at the enthusiasm that people have. People do care about their local history.
Yeah, they do.
And one of the things that we can do as part of this celebration is to build on that natural enthusiasm.
Yes.
And people can try to write their local history. Mm-hmm. They may collect documents. They may have artifacts that they have to donate. And all of this is going to be organized and kept by Historical Resources, mm-hmm. the county agency that deals with preserving our history.
That's on Potter Way, is it? Off of, it's east of I-75, tucked back
not,
in there.
Not, I've, it's not I've, Potter Way. I'm trying to think what it is. But yes, that is the...
Porter Road.
Porter
it's on
Road.
Porter
that's
Road,
it.
And that's where the historical archives mm-hmm. of Sarasota County are.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, you can go there during the day, during the week, mm-hmm. and check out. It's a library of all kinds
of
information.
Historical Resources is kind of part of the library system,
mm-hmm.
and it has the largest collection, of course, of local history books and things
yes.
of that sort. But it also has huge collections of documents, letters.
Yeah, I think
pamphlets.
That'd be it's fascinating. Once, I was a history major and I love it, so I find it all really interesting because the best stories and my the best history teachers, in my experience, tell stories because it's people, you know. It's and I mean we're all. We're all being informed by stories all the time. But a lot of times, you know, the truth is stranger than fiction. And history, when you understand the personalities in play, the issues of the time, as you do so well with Bertha Palmer, wow, she was a remarkable woman. She could have stayed in Chicago and kept warm in the winter and had her parties, but she came down here. She bought land and she started a whole community. This is a rare thing. And for a woman at that time to be doing that kind of work was just, you know, she was a rare bird, a transformational figure, and certainly a transformational figure here. We wouldn't be the community we are if it weren't for her. So your book is being published April 1st. Where can we buy it? And its name again?
Well, it's simple. It's a simple title. It's Creating Sarasota County.
Okay.
And it will be out published April 1st. Whether it'll be physically in all the bookstores
mm-hmm.
or on the net, I can't tell you.
Okay.
I'm going to obviously try to get around and have some sessions with people
mm-hmm. to talk about it or book signings.
Well, I want people to talk about it. Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot in that book. And it, you know, there are book clubs all over this community. Mm-hmm. For example, I would hope every book club would take a look at that.
Yeah.
And make it an item of discussion.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, we'll look for the book, Creating Sarasota. Thank you so much, Frank, for doing this work.
My pleasure.
You know, because it really, I know we have some history out there, but to create a really robust archive of what's gone on in Sarasota is a wonderful thing. And, you know, the point you made about community, I think a lot of people move down here, often to retire. Not everyone. I didn't move here to retire, but a lot of people do. And then somehow feel that maybe it's not their place, or they didn't come down here to get involved. But it is your place. It is your community. And frankly, and I'm gonna bust on you guys out there who vote for county commissioners and you don't know who they are. You must know who these people are. You must also take a look at and forget about party, you know, just decide and look at the person. I think we'd all, well, we need more of that these days, right? So public service announcement before we leave. For those who live, work, or play in the Sarasota city limits, residents and visitors, the 2019 Community Survey is now available at sarasotafl.gov/survey2019. That's sarasotafl.gov/survey2019. It's available in Spanish and English, has 24 questions, and they say it takes less than 15 minutes to complete. Although, if there's a section for comments, I'm sure some of you will take longer than that. So, anyway, Frank, thanks again for being with me.
Thank you.
And I'll look forward to hearing more about our centennial celebrations and how we can all participate. You can go to SarasotaCountyCentennial.com to join the effort and learn more about our history and how to participate. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. You've been listening to The Detail on WSLR LP FM 96.5 in Sarasota, and stay tuned to the tunes of Carlos Pagan and Medtropics. Have a great day.
National Bluegrass Music Association's 2017 Momentum Award, Mile 12 is a fresh, hard-driving young band, beautifully walking the line between original and traditional bluegrass. Fast gaining recognition for their outstanding performances in bluegrass and folk circles, the group writes captivating songs and daring instrumental pieces from diverse influences. Mile 12 will perform at the Fogartyville Community Media and Arts Center on Sunday, January 27th at 7 p.m. Tickets are $15 in advance and $20 day of show. Advance tickets are available online at www.wslr.org or by calling 1-800-838-3006.
You are listening to WSLR 96.5 LP.